Welcome to Martin Methodist Church's traditional service. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We're currently worshiping in our fellowship hall as our new organ is being installed in our sanctuary. And today we continue our sermon series, Joyful Living. Let's join in as the message is underway.
All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Again, we welcome you here to this service of worship. We're glad those are joining us online today, and will you pray with me? Lord, in these moments, do a good work among us. Bring our salvation to completion. Mature our hearts in Christ as we are pressed into Christ and molded into his image. Lord, we love you through the power of your holy word. Now do the work that you desire to do. And if we do not hear through the words of my voice, then speak to us in the quietness of our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Friends, today we're going to talk about the importance of the church as it provides for us models to encourage us in following Jesus. There are seasoned, mature fellowship believers in our midst, and they model their lives after Jesus Christ, and they are on our Christian team, if you will. They encourage us like a home team crowd as we live the Christian life following Jesus. I will use an acrostic this morning. If you've got a pen, you're on the back of your bulletin, you could take some notes. We're gonna use an acrostic around the word model, M-O-D-E-L, because model is so important, and it's what we're gonna be talking about today. And it's inspired by verse 17 of our scripture lesson where Paul says, choose your models wisely. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us, that would have been Paul and Timothy and probably Epaphroditus. We've talked about all of them. As we have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. But before sharing the acrostic model, I want to let you know that as I studied and prepared for this sermon, I looked up the word model, and there are many definitions for the word model. And we're not going to get into what those definitions are. I'm going to hone you in this morning on what the Apostle Paul has been saying here, what he meant by this, because in the Greek language, the word is tupos, and tupos means a model or a master mold or a pattern or a die. So in other words, it would be like you would make a mold for a coin, put the impression on that mold that you wanted to have, and then you take hot metal coins, silver, and you press it against that mold, that tupos, and you will find that you have now the image on that coin that you wanted to have. So that's the analogy he's using. And I think it's very well said that Paul is saying that I have been pressed into Jesus by his suffering, by the things that I've experienced. Christ now in me, the hope of my glory. And so we are pressed against Jesus and we are molded to be like his image as we go through sometimes suffering, but we are to be Christ followers who bear his image. And that's what it means to be, I think, a disciple of Christ. Others follow Jesus here in the church. And there are many good models that have also been pressed by Jesus. They also bear the image of Christ, and when they go through hardship and adversity, they give a witness. And when they offer that witness to us, we are to be paying attention, because Paul is saying here, we need to look for other models around us that will remind us of what it means to be Christ in these very real situations, real-time situations. We need to be watching people and how they handle suffering. We need to be watching people and how they handle and steward the money that they have. We need to be watching people how they treat their families, how they care for their children and disciple their children, how they care for elderly parents and make sure they have what they need in their time of need. As you know, Christ calls us to look for models here, or Paul does, that are also shaped in the image of Christ. Again, follow my example, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, as I follow the example of Christ. So we look to models in the congregation that are following Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so let's go into this acrostic now, model, M. I'm going to go quickly through it, then we'll work through the letters. But M stands for maturity in Christ. Maturity in Christ is the aim of the Christian disciple. That is what God wills for you. He desires for you to be a mature follower of Jesus Christ, not a babe or an infant in the faith. There's a time for that, but you must continue to grow up and become all that God desires for you to be. Maturity in Christ. Oh, again, observe the spiritual role models. Keep your eyes open. They're all around us. And we need to observe them when they are going through hardship, when they are being faithful, so that we might emulate their faithful journeys in Christ. And then D stands for don't follow those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. E stands for embrace heavenly citizenship, because what did Paul say? Our citizenship is in heaven. And then lastly, L stands for let's look for the day of full transformation. The day when Christ comes in glory, or the day that you breathe your last breath here on earth, will be the day that you stand before Jesus, and he will recognize you as one of his followers, one of his apprentices. And friends, it says in the scripture here today, you will be made like him in fullness. They will be made new like Jesus. We'll have a new resurrected body. And it will be, what a wonderful day it will be. We'll sing about that at the end of our service. Let's talk about maturity in Christ as our aim. The Christian life is always about movement, moving forward. We are not to have apathy or drift about as the world would toss us here and there. We are to be locked in. We are to be growing as disciples. And that is spoken of in the verses that precede our scripture lesson, where it says, I forget what lies behind. I press on towards the goal of the upward call of Christ Jesus, my Lord. We are not to drift about. We are to be constantly working at our salvation with fear and trembling. We've talked about that in our sermon series. Because if not, just like the body, if not worked out, a body, if it just lays around, the muscles begin to atrophy. And the same is true, friends, with your spiritual life. Your soul can atrophy, and you will lose ground if you do not work out at your salvation. Just like a relationship called marriage or a close friendship. If you become apathetic about spending time with that person, if you don't organize your calendar about having important conversations or doing things together with your spouse or with an important friendship, you will begin to drift apart. And that happens in our spiritual lives as well. The goal of the spiritual life is spiritual maturity. We are saved at our conversions. We call that justifying grace. But we work out our conversion throughout our entire lifetime, and that is called sanctifying grace, sanctification, becoming more like Christ. And friends, it's a lifelong journey. And certainly there will be times when we fall back, we lose ground, but we can always start back up again. And that is God's work of grace in our lives, not by our own efforts, but by God's goodness in us. The biblical understanding of the spiritual life is transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing you into conformity with Jesus Christ, bringing your life into alignment with his teachings. And friends, it is a lifelong journey and struggle. It has mountaintops and experiences that are very formational, and it has valleys that are times of the dark night of the soul and dryness and prayers that seem to bounce off the ceiling, and we ask, where is God? It is a journey of grace, and it is a long journey in the same direction. I'm grateful that Marvin Church has a discipleship pathway. I've served many churches. Well, we didn't have a goal. We didn't have a pathway. We didn't talk about a way in which we are trying to form people to become more like Christ. We just offered programs and Bible studies, and we say, you know, go after it and take advantage of like a cafeteria, whatever you want to do. But here we have a pathway to help people move. And I want to kind of expand upon that pathway through a book that I've been reading, I mentioned last week, but let me just say this. As we talk about our pathway at Marvin, as we talk about growing in Christ and then becoming close to Christ and then moving into a Christ-centered life, we know that there is some walls in there, then there are some difficult crises that help either push us back or they press us in to a greater movement of God in our lives. But let me say this also. It is at times a zigzag. It is never a straight line. You don't just go from this category to this category and eventually you land here at the Christ-centered life without sometimes regressing back and then maybe dropping here and then coming back up. And so it is a zigzag, not a journey that is a perfect straight line. You have a unique story. You have your own unique crises. You have your moments of, like I said, mountaintops and valleys. But here, as we move into Bobby Harrington, not the former staff member, and Josh Patrick in the book called The Disciples Maker's Handbook, let me say this. There are stages of development. It doesn't matter based on age. These are just simply identified stages. The first two we would call in our growing in Christ area. This is what was referred to by them as spiritual infancy. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, you're still drinking milk when you should be eating solid food. You should be able to discern what is good and what is bad for you. You are not at that point. It's an admonition to the congregation that receiving the letter, that's the spiritual infancy. That's a person who says something like, I didn't know that was in the Bible because I don't read the Bible. Well, why aren't you reading the Bible? Or whatever, or I don't know because I haven't been to church in several years. Well, why haven't you been to church in several years? Why are you not going to Sunday school? Why are you not in spiritual conversation or mutual accountable relationships with other Christians? There are people that are kind of stuck. They've been saved, and they're just infants in Christ, and they're not moving on to maturity. And then there are spiritual childhood. We're still in the growing stage. These are what we call a child. It's a self-centered life with God. Now, let me just say it this way. And again, I'm not bringing judgment to anybody. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring you to self-awareness, to help see where you might be. But in a self-centered life, it's all about you. And why am I going through this tragedy? Why is God giving me this tragedy, this challenge right now in my life? It's all about you, not about honoring and worshiping God and looking for God through difficult places. And here's one also that would be for someone in spiritual childhood. They've asked us to move our Sunday school class. So I've decided we're leaving the church. I mean, that's like, I don't like this. I'm getting my toys and leaving and going to another sandbox, right? It's a very childlike behavior. Again, but I've been in churches. I've seen it over the years. And we want people to move past that. And sometimes it requires some kind of crisis. And the crisis might be they're moving your Sunday school class. But guess what? God is going to be in that other class. It's not a time to leave the church and all the relationships that you have. The young adult area of life, as described in their book, is when we become aware of the Holy Spirit's presence, that the Holy Spirit is transforming our hearts, that we begin to talk in language, that there is a kingdom of God that's in our midst, and the Holy Spirit is now prompting you to do things. You now have burdens for your neighbors who are unbelievers. You begin to hear the Holy Spirit tell you to call a person, and you take responsibility that you are a part of the church. Someone doesn't come to Sunday school class for several weeks, and you don't just go tell the pastor, you call them yourself and you ask them if they're okay. This is the movement of getting to the adolescence, the young adult, where the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, is now becoming a part. But lastly, let me say this, the goal is to become a spiritual parent. Now, what is a parent responsible for? Multiplication of disciples. A spiritual parent is somebody who's now interested in the spiritual lives of other people. Now, friends, this at Marvin Church sounds very much like people who are in bands and class meetings and walk-to-walk relationships. It means that I care about another person's spiritual life. I understand that through mutual accountable relationships, asking somebody in a band meeting, you know, how is it with your soul? Or are you dealing with any temptations that you need to confess to us? That now I'm engaged in the wanting someone to find the best spiritual life possible for them. That is where you are now in maturity, a spiritual parent. And on August 23rd, here in Heard Auditorium during the Sunday School Hour, there's going to be an opportunity to learn about bands and class meetings and walk-to-walk relationships. How can we help each other grow in Christ? When you're now concerned about your brother or sister and how they're growing in Christ, you are moving on to perfection. You are moving on in your maturity for Christ. There will be periods of dramatic change. There'll be teenage growth spurts. There'll be mission trips. There'll be a walk to Emmaus. There'll be things that really help you to grow quickly. And there'll be dry periods where you will just work the disciplines and you'll worship and you'll read scripture and you'll pray and you'll serve and you'll do all of those things, all bringing about a slow growth where you are falling deeper and deeper in love with Jesus Christ. You know, I love this saying. I've heard it, many people have said it. Many Christians are over-informed and yet underdeveloped. They need to start applying the truths that they know. How many scriptures have you heard in your lifetime? How many Sunday school lessons have you heard in your lifetime? How many times have you read the Bible? And yet we have so much information, and yet we haven't come to the place where the Holy Spirit has convicted us to say, okay, Doug, you believe in tithing, so now when are you going to start practicing it? Or when are you going to start growing toward that? You believe that you order your life around Christ and the worship of God is the most important thing, but why won't you go back to church and actually be a part of the body of Christ? There are times when we must bring application to what we've been learning because we know so much, but it's not transforming our lives. It was Mark Twain who said, I'm more bothered by the passages I understand in the Bible than the passages I don't understand in the Bible. Well said, Mark Twain. More people need to be bothered by what they do understand in the Holy Scriptures. I've spent a lot of time on maturity, so let's move on. O stands for observe spiritual role models. Verse 17 says, join together in following my example. We'll insert 1 Corinthians 11:1, as I follow Christ. Keep your eyes also open for those who do as we do. Remember, Jesus is the master mold. He is the pattern. He is the die that we are all forming our lives around. He is pressed into us through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can live to be more like Jesus. And I believe this is why the church is important, because there are so many Jesus followers coming together in one place that we can witness to each other, be encouraged by each other to go back out into the world and take Christ out. Friends, just this week, I've been with a family who is honoring a loved one as she is now in hospice care. And we are watching, and I'm a witness to a Christian family rally around and be with a beloved family member who has lived a good, faithful Christian life and who is preparing to die. We are watching someone die in the name of Christ and what it looks like. That is an invaluable witness for God. And this week, I've also seen someone who's has gone through a medical crisis. I think a pretty severe medical crisis. They did it with their faith. They did it with their friends and family. They did it with positivity. And they did it with a sense of humor. And it witnessed to me how to go through adversity. And on Tuesday night at our church council meeting, there was a presentation by the properties committee about our long-range plan and about this upcoming eternal dinner. And it was discussed that we have 6 roofs that are still 40 years of age and older that need to be replaced. We've been systematically working on roof replacement. We've about halfway through, but there's 6 more roofs. At that point, one of our church council members said, "What is the holdup? Why don't we get after this? Why don't we get this done? I'll lead the way." And the very next day, that person gave a sizable gift to the Eternal Flame as a challenge to inspire all of us to get behind. Let's get these roofs done. Why do we have to wait all these years to do it? I say, come on, let's do it, right? And even today, I was blessed to hear the testimony of someone who said that day 243 in reading the Bible, trying to get through the entire Bible in their Bible reading plan. Praise be to God. I needed to hear that today. We are witnesses to what it means to be faithful. We have models all around us. Open your eyes that you might see. Let's move on to D. This is the dark side, the underbelly of what he's saying. Don't follow now those who are enemies of the cross. Now, who are the enemies of the cross? Let me just say this first. Look at the scripture where Paul says, "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many are enemies of the cross of Christ." Now, before we get into who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, look at Paul's compassionate heart. Who does that remind you of? Did not Jesus weep as he approached Jerusalem on that holy week? Paul is weeping. There are tear stains on the parchment that he is sending. He is crying because people do not understand that the God of heaven, who created all of us and created this amazing world, emptied himself, took on the form of a person, became a servant. He washed feet, and he went even to the cross to die a criminal's death. That is an amazing love story. That is an amazing God. And some people see the cross of Christ, and they don't see it. And they don't understand that God loves us so much that he emptied himself to become one of us and to die in such a painful, agonizing way, only to be raised again on the third day into glory, to send heaven back up to heaven to be with God again. We know that is Jesus Christ, but it is the cross of Christ. And there are those that just do not get it and don't understand. Instead, their God is their stomach. They follow the appetites that find to give them temporary happiness. Their glory is their shame. They take pride in dysfunction. They set their mind on earthly things. In Paul's day, there were lots of things. Commentators say lots of things that could have been going on here. Gnosticism, that's the belief that your spiritual life matters, but your physical life is evil anyway, so just do whatever you want in the flesh, because as long as you're staying up with your religious practices and you have all the right knowledge, what you do in the body doesn't matter. And that was getting a lot of churches in trouble, that belief in Gnosticism. Then there were the antinomians. They misinterpreted the amazing grace of God to give them license to do whatever they wanted to do. Because I'll be forgiven, I'll just go ahead and do it. The more I sin, the more grace I'll receive. Cheap grace. Then there are the Judaizers, those who had the law of circumcision that must be applied to all who believed, even the Gentiles. And then there were the Jews who said no Messiah would die on a cross as a criminal. Therefore, we write off Jesus as our Messiah. He could never be the Messiah and have died in that way. And then also the Greeks who said it is ridiculous that any God would allow human beings to put them to death. So we don't want to believe in this Jesus Christ. Do you see? They're enemies of the cross. It is the cross that has turned them off. And yet for those who are saved by it, it is the hope and the glory of those who believe. Friends, when we talk about things of entertainment in the postmodern world in which we live, I just want to remind you, I Googled this week. I don't even remember what I Googled. It was something along the lines as, you know, what it, TV shows that glory and shameful things. I got a list of TV shows, entertainment, that show descriptions of them. And here's one description. Featuring a group of profoundly narcissistic, unethical pub owners who routinely cross moral lines and double down on the worst impulses. Wow. That's how we're entertained. They are truly glorifying shame. But that would be the mindset of earthly things. But let's move on. Paul says, let's embrace our heavenly citizenship. Now, the Philippians would have heard this. Your citizenship is in heaven, because they knew that their citizenship belonged in Rome. Many of them were Roman soldiers who had retired and had settled in Philippi, and now they were Roman citizens. With that, they had privileges. They had rights. They studied the Roman laws. They followed the Roman laws. They had the Roman culture there in Philippi. That's what Paul is saying to them. In fact, he will appeal his case to Caesar. Why is he in Rome? Because when he was arrested by the Jews, while he was accused of doing these things to upset the religious and the peace and the order of the land, he appealed to Caesar. He was a Roman citizen himself. He was telling the Philippians, your citizenship is not necessarily in Rome. Your citizenship, friends, is in heaven. And that's a good word for us today. Your citizenship is in heaven. I guess you could say we have dual citizenship. We live here in Tyler, in East Texas. We live in Texas, in the United States, as citizens, but we have a citizenship that is in heaven. God has called us out of this place. He's called us to live by different rules, different manner, and to follow another king, another Lord. And we pray, and we will pray in just a moment, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth. We want things to happen here on earth because of the work of the church and the work of the gospel to be just like things are in heaven where Christ is ruling currently.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my sweetest frame, but only
thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd like to personally invite you to join us for both contemporary and traditional services here at 8:30 and 11 o'clock on our campus in downtown Tyler, Texas. Please visit our website to learn more about our church, its ministry, and our serving opportunities. And if we can be of any assistance in your spiritual growth, I hope that you'll let us know. Contributions can be made to the church through our QR code now on the screen or by sending your gift to the church. Thanks for your participation in our worship today. And may God bless you.